This morning, we have got, hi, it's Em, our in-house naturopath. Em is here. Yeah. And I just wanted to see if I'm up to date with where we were at, because mm-hmm. I did a bit of, you know, looking through my notes, because I actually write notes.
Oh, well done.
And I believe that we have covered quite a few things, but the main mm-hmm. ones are dopamine, mm-hmm. and we refer to dopamine as dope man. We've talked about serotonin, uh-huh. who sets the tone. We talk about glutamate.
Yep.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Is that the right way to say mm-hmm. it? Who is like the foreman of a, work site.
Yeah.
And then we've got GABA, who uh-huh. is like HR.
Yes.
And then the last thing that we kind of spoke about, if I'm not incorrect, was histamine.
Yes.
Which you opened up my whole brain to, because I had a very small kind of view of histamine, but it plays such a huge role in this beautiful body's
It really does. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Where are we going to go now?
Well, what I thought we'd kind of shift into is still sitting around the mental health, like what might look like a mental health picture or present sort of as a mental health picture,
yeah.
but more around the sort of deficiencies kind of area. I mean, we sort of talked about deficiencies and what deficiencies of these neurotransmitters would look like anyway. So, but we're looking into moving into nutrients.
Okay. Tell me why you want to go there.
Well, because, and I'm diet, I know, nutrition, everybody ooh, hates ooh, and squirms and
rolls their eyes. I start glitching when I hear the word diet.
Look, I do too. But it is so important, and I'll try to not make it sound so preachy, because I know it can be a real, like, kind of barrier for people when you start talking about nutrition. But nutrients, making sure, I'm going back to the car analogy, I think it's because my son, my youngest, is a mechanic, and so I always kind of relate to cars. But I'm going back to the car analogy.
Yeah.
You put the right fuel in the car,
yes,
it's going to run well. If you use the wrong fuel, you'll conk out, it won't start, it'll be sluggish, it won't respond. We are exactly the same. I might start with a nutrient that, because we are talking about deficiencies
That's
for the
right.
next series, and I thought we'd start with a nutrient that everyone is probably well and truly heard of, which is iron.
Oh.
Doctors test for it quite regularly. Some of the
That's
signs. Yeah. Some of the signs of iron deficiency are very familiar. So fatigue. Depression actually is a sign of low iron, or can be a sign of low iron. And just shouting back to our neurotransmitters, that's because
yeah.
for neurotransmitters to be made, it requires iron. Do you remember how I talked about the Lego building?
You did, yes.
And the hands are like the cofactors.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. So iron is like the hands that build the neurotransmitters. So if you are low in iron, then you're already, your body's going to struggle to put together the bits and pieces it needs to create those neurotransmitters.
Mm.
So that's why depression kind of is one of the symptoms of iron deficiency. But there's other things that iron deficiency pops up as, like shortness of breath, for example.
Really?
Yeah. If you're finding yourself puffed for no reason, like if you can normally climb one flight of stairs, no problem, and then you get to – if you start getting puffed after one flight of stairs and along with some of the other symptoms, that might be, a low iron.
That's wild. I never would have –
Yeah.
As some, a cause.
Yeah.
Potential.
That's right, yeah. Low blood pressure as well can be a sign of low iron. And interestingly, there's things that you can check, like your conjunctiva as well. So when you...
Break that down. What is
it? So conjunctiva is the inside of your eyelid.
Okay.
Right? So if
where
you
conjunctivitis...
That's right, okay. Yeah. So if you push on your... Just gently, obviously. You don't want to be, like, freaking people out, but, you know, have flipping your eyelids and stuff like that. But
can you do that?
But, no, I can't. No, thank I used to try as a kid. No. Yeah. Never worked. But yeah, you know, when you can kind of push down, like exactly like you're doing, and in the mirror, if you look at your conjunctiva,
yeah,
and that is a sign, like the color of it can tell you a little bit about the level of iron. I mean, it's not a diagnostic thing, obviously, but it is, you know, if you're sort of noticing some of these other things, and you can kind of check that, same as the lines on your hand. These are some of the signs, like physical signs that...
I need to moisturize. My hands are really dry today.
So if they're really, really red, that it said that that's another sign that your the iron could be low. Again, not a diagnostic thing. So any doctors out there listening, please don't roll your eyes and go, "Oh my gosh, what is this fish slapper talking about?"
this is really
these
helpful.
These are just some things that, you know, traditionally naturopaths would use to look at and sort of lean to. If, you know, if all the pictures were sort of all the signs were adding up, they'd check these things as well and go, "Oh, wow, that, okay, maybe we should look at that."
Speaking it so naturally and I'm just like, gulp, like, whoa, pick up my jaw off the desk, like, amazing. Can we go a little bit further with iron?
Iron is, iron's probably one of my favorite minerals to talk about because it's so needed in our system, but you can get too much iron as well. But I won't go into the iron toxicity because, generally speaking, it's something that it's relatively rare, right, unless you're overdoing the iron supplements, which is hard because it can block you up.
Oh,
so yeah.
Okay.
Word to the wise. But we'll talk about that towards the end. But I just wanted, in the break, we talked about the shortness of breath because I found that like you seemed really kind of, wow, I didn't know about that. And I just wanted, I just wanted to explain that a little bit because people can go, how can iron be, you know, deficient in iron make me short of breath? I think people would have heard of anemia before, and there's different types of anemia. There's functional iron deficiency with anemia or without anemia. There's absolute iron deficiency with anemia or without anemia. And basically what that means, I'll try and break it down really quickly. Functional iron deficiency means that you look like you've got enough iron in your body. When you get the blood tests, the stores are saying, yeah, there's plenty here.
Yeah.
But functionally, it's not getting to where it needs. It's not going into the cells. There's a reason behind that. Usually, it's inflammation. So if you've got systemic inflammation in your body, the stores, if you I like to think of iron as a passenger on public transport.
On public, okay.
Yeah, so we've got, I know, bear with me, right?
Your creative mind is beautiful. Yes, okay, public transport traveler.
Right. Okay, so iron travels all around the body, okay, on something called transferrin, right? That's a protein, transferrin.
Wow.
Transfers iron from the depot, which is ferritin, which is where the stores are. Okay, so when you get an iron test done, sometimes GPs will just order iron, like a ferritin reading.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for. They're looking at the stores of iron in your body. Okay, so how many passengers are at the depot? If there's inflammation in your body, your body stores away iron because, let's say, you've got an infection, for example, bacteria require, they feed on iron. So your body will store it up, which means your iron stores will then look like you've got enough. But because your body's storing it and not sending it to where it needs to go so that the bacteria don't get it, you're actually functionally deficient. And it's so intricate. But inflammation is basically your immune system is activated. Okay, so if your immune system has been activated, your body's going to go, "Oh, we need to store the iron."
Ah.
Yeah. So ferritin is what we call an acute phase reactant.
Okay.
And that's why why ferritin on its own, when there's inflammation in the body, is not a good indication of where your iron levels are at. Absolute iron deficiency is when your ferritin is really low, and the transferrin is low as well. So you can have, and then you can, then we go into anemia picture, which is where I was getting initially.
Yeah.
Anemia is when your hemoglobin is low as well. So hemoglobin is another protein, and hemoglobin carries iron or requires iron to carry oxygen in the blood. And that's where I was going with the shortness of breath conversation a couple of minutes ago.
It's amazing. And it's not a straight pathway to it. You have to take the pathway you've taken us on, the scenic route, to be able to fully
understand. That you can kind of understand where anemia, so you can have, and that's like the all the different types of iron deficiency. You can have the functional where it's, you've got enough in the stores in your ferritin, but you don't, it's not getting to the cells, or you can have functional iron deficiency. So that would just be functional iron deficiency, or you can have functional iron deficiency with anemia, which means the hemoglobin is also low. And so the hemoglobin, if your hemoglobin's low because it carries oxygen to the lungs, mm-hmm. that's why we get short of breath. If you're anemic or if you're low in iron with low hemoglobin, you'll be short of breath.
Do they tap on and tap off like the rest of us who do the right thing, right, Breakfast Show family, when we use public transport?
Of course. where will we go with iron next? Oh. So I think maybe if we talk a little bit about the how iron is absorbed.
Nice.
So iron is we get iron from our diet, but it also gets recycled in our body.
Mm.
So yes, it's important to have a diet with that is has adequate iron in it, but our body does recycle it. So in the hemoglobin and everything, it gets transported around and then it gets cleaved from that protein, broken down, and then recycled back
wow.
into the liver and yeah.
Yeah.
And back around again. So it really is just, you know, it goes to work and then it comes back to the depot and then it goes back out again. it's a busy little buddy, our iron. but it gets absorbed in our small intestine in the area called people call it the duodenum. Some people call it the duodenum. I think the American pronunciation is duodenum.
Okay.
But basically,
what do you say?
I say duodenum,
yeah,
to be honest.
That's what I learned too.
Yeah. But that is the sort of the first part of our small intestine. So it's sort of just close to the stomach.
Right.
Yeah. And it comes across the intestinal wall. It comes into our small intestine, gets, you know, processed and everything. And it's a very, very complex absorption system. So I won't try and go into that today. But then when it's in its absorption state, because it's just slightly into it because I love organic
Shouldn't
chemistry.
Help herself.
I know. Organic chemistry is fascinating when you break everything down.
Fascinating.
I love it. I love it. I never did chemistry in high school, but I did organic chemistry in uni, and I was just like, why did I not do this in high school? Oh,
wow.
My gosh. I skipped as many sciences as I could in high school. and here I am with a science degree. But anyway.
How cool is that? I'm not going to interrupt you because this is going to be good.
Yeah. So iron has different forms. It's a ferric. It has a ferric form and a ferrous form. And basically that just means how many ions are floating around the molecule of iron. It's absorbed as a ferric iron, and then it needs to be transferred. An ion needs to be transferred to it to become ferrous, and then it does its job, and then it, yeah. Not sure why I was saying that. I just got carried away with the organic chemistry. Sorry.
You know what? Like, I know why you spoke about that. It's because it genuinely brings you joy. Her hands are all moving. Her smile is so big. There's a sparkle. And we're going to continue this conversation right after this. This is the station that we love and trust. It's your 96.3. We've got in-house naturopath M. This morning's been so, so good. And we've kind of got one more teaching spot avails for this morning. What are you going to hit us with?
Well, we have been talking about iron and we just started talking about the absorption. So it's probably really important to talk about then where can I get iron from?
Nice.
So if you're a carnivore or an omnivore.
That's me. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm a carnivore.
Or omnivore. You're an omnivore as well because you eat vegetables.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So omnivore just means eat everything. Carnivore, then you've got your vegetarians and vegans. Okay. So omnivores, you can get iron from predominantly from meat. So the vegetarian iron and meat iron are in different forms.
Right.
Okay. So you've got heme iron and non-heme iron. And that just means, obviously, heme is like if you think hemoglobin, that's...
Oh, I thought you meant like, can I get a ham and cheese sandwich?
Ham.
No. Sorry.
No. So the heme iron is already in its absorbable form. If you're a vegetarian and you're getting non-heme iron, it just means that you need, your body needs to break it down into the form, like, and process it into the absorbable form. So it's just a bit more absorbable via the heme iron format, I suppose. So that's all, you know, meats basically is your heme iron. If you're a vegetarian though, or vegan, obviously you need to get it somewhere else. So legumes is a really probably our go-to for non-heme iron. So, you know, chickpeas, lentils, kidney beans, black beans, all of those sorts of things. Nuts and seeds is another place that you can get iron from. Dark leafy greens as well. The jury's out with the iron on the dark leafy greens and how to eat it best, because there's also other forms, other chemicals like oxalate in dark leafy greens, which can block absorption. Same with calcium. So dairy products can have iron in it, but again, dairy products also have calcium and they compete for absorption. So just a quick note on iron supplementation as well.
That'd be nice.
Currently, we, you know, the standard is X amount per day, usually 50 milligrams of elemental iron per day. But the research is coming out saying that iron absorption is actually more absorbed. So more percentage of that iron is absorbed if you dose every second day rather than daily.
Wow.
Yeah. And dose it with something that is high in vitamin C, because that assists the absorption of iron, and keep it away from things like coffee, tea, milk, and things like that, because that competes for absorption. I could talk about iron for 3 weeks, but I won't. But but next week, because we have been talking about absorption of iron and the diet, iron in the diet and everything, I think it's probably really important then to just touch on the intestinal permeability, because that can really affect the absorption of iron. And, you know, how we talk, you know, way back in the beginning of the session about iron stores and how they can, you know, when there's inflammation present, is kind of can create this cycle where you've got inflammation, intestinal permeability, the immune activation, iron stores are withheld, functional deficiency, immune activation, intestinal permeability. Like, it just keeps going. But I will go into that next week.
Breakfast Show family, she said all of that without any notes. I tell you what, you love this. You love the human body. And I think you love it most of all because of your famous line, which is that we are
wonderfully made.
So wonderfully made.
We are.
And we love you so much. We will see you next week.
Thank you. Look forward to it.